Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. One of the things that I just found out a couple days ago about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Stark's Prayer Book, I didn't know this. I probably should have. But that the translation has been tweaked and the editing has been done by none other than, he's one of our listeners' favorite guests, Pastor Will Wheaton, and no mean translator and scholar himself. He says of Stark's Prayer Book, when he opens it, it is meat for the soul. And it does take a little getting used to, Stark's Prayer Book. It's a thick volume of prayers. And yes, there are prayers in a book. There's nothing wrong with that. And they are not just for devotional use. They also instruct. And as he rightly points out, this is a Christ-centered prayer book that does not forget that we are talking about Christ who comes to reveal the Father through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. It's Trinitarian as well. I recommend Stark's Prayer Book. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask them about Stark's Prayer Book. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Well, going back from today to the 5th century is a difficult thing to do. It's hard for us to imagine what it must have been like to be a Christian in the 5th century. Cyril of Alexandria is one of those giants that stands up out of history. But the closer you look at him, the more you realize he was kind of an unsavory character himself. Got in trouble a lot of arguments. Maybe that's why I have an affinity for him. And yet, a champion of the faith of sorts. Joining us to talk about 5th century Bishop Cyril of Alexandria, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Pastor Curtis, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about the circumstances in the church, especially, into which Cyril of Alexandria was born.
He was born at a uniquely challenging time for the church because it was such a time of great transition. He's born right at the end of what's called the late antique period, or the very end of classical antiquity. That is, he's born into a city of Alexandria that is truly cosmopolitan, with a large Jewish population, a large pagan population, and a large Christian population. Mix into that the fact that the Roman Empire in both East and West is in a decline, and this is we've talked about before, this tragedy of the 4th century now growing into the 5th century, of the church becoming more and more involved in secular politics and all that goes into that, intrigues with emperors and princes and violence and everything else. And Cyril's career becomes really a hallmark of this transition from the church from persecuted minority to imperial religion wielding real political and secular power.
So how does he come to be a bishop in Alexandria?
Well, he was. He's also on the cutting edge of what will become part and parcel of Western European history. He's born into it. He's born into essentially an ecclesiastical noble family. His uncle, Theophilus, was also the Archbishop of Alexandria, and this is his mom's brother. And so he's educated by this man and grows up into the church, seeks a career in the church, and eventually floats to the top and is himself elected archbishop.
He was kind of a disagreeable guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, this is the great thing when talking about Cyril. If the church can call Cyril saint, there's hope for all of us. You know, he is certainly not, he does not bear that title because of his own personal piety. He was indeed a disagreeable fellow, and not only a disagreeable fellow, but involved in some rough and tumble of politics of his time. He was perhaps involved in a couple different mob actions, perhaps involved not directly, but certainly through men who knew him and with whom he worked, even in the frankly, just the outright cold-blooded murder of a pagan philosopher named Hypatia. He's got an interesting career, to say the least.
Okay, talk, if you would, about the major kind of Christological controversy that was going on, of which Cyril finds himself a part.
Right. It's hard to untangle this from imperial politics. And so what you got to know is that this fellow, another bishop in the church, Nestorius, was bishop of Constantinople. And it had been in living memory that Constantinople and the bishop of Constantinople had kind of been bumped up in rank above the bishop of Alexandria. And this was still... It's similar to, in the United States, the competition that goes on between New York, Chicago, and L.A. for which is really the most American city, which is the most important city culturally and everything else. Well, the same kind of rivalry, except in spades, goes on between the ancient cities of Alexandria, Rome, and Constantinople. So Cyril seizes on an opportunity to attack Nestorius and Constantinople, when Nestorius defends a priest in Constantinople who said that we shouldn't call Mary the mother of God because that can be misunderstood, because that's not the most pious way to talk. And Nestorius steps in, and to defend him, he says, right, we shouldn't call Mary the mother of God, and we shouldn't call Mary the mother of a man. We should call Mary the mother of Christ. And so Nestorius is trying to steer this middle way in how we talk about Mary. And Cyril, rightly, condemns that and says, hey, no, Jesus really is God and man. So it's perfectly right to say that Mary is the mother of God, and it's perfectly right to say that Mary is the mother of a human being. And he accuses Nestorius of trying to do away, especially with the strong statement of Jesus' divinity, by hiding under that title, Mother of Christ. This escalates into a war of words between Cyril and Nestorius, and then enters into this phase of imperial politics. Cyril gets the emperor to call a council. Cyril and his guys, when they get there, they start the council before Nestorius gets there. It leads to both of them being, at one point, exiled by the emperor, and other points brought back into favor. And it's a convoluted mess, and a good example to us of exactly why you do not want the state and the church in bed with each other.
So, just give me your kind of private opinion on this. Had things gone differently in this controversy, do you think Nestorius really was, at the beginning, compromising the full divinity and humanity, the two natures in Christ, or do you think he was just trying to find a way of saying it and eventually got himself, or perhaps painted himself, into that heretical corner?
Yeah. A lot of modern scholars, and I tend to agree with them, think it's the latter, that certainly at the beginning, Nestorius... let's put it this way, Nestorius wasn't as bad as Cyril said he was. Part of this has been the discovery in the modern era of a lot of bishops centered on the theological school of Antioch, which is kind of where Nestorius comes from. As we found more and more of those guys and learned more and more about what sometimes is called Nestorian Christianity, which is the branch of Christianity that spread through northern Iraq, Iran, and all the way over into China, the more we learn about that, the less bad it sounds. And that's not a ringing endorsement, obviously, but it's certainly not the it's not exactly what Cyril condemned. And we've got to remember, when we read the back and forth between Cyril and Nestorius, as much as we have of it, it's really colored in politics and the personalities of these two men, whose positions become so entrenched that it's hard to dig out from them. I mean, for example, Cyril goes so far the other way that he prefers to talk about one nature in Christ. Orthodox Western Catholic definition of Christ becomes two natures in one person. But Cyril would talk about one composite nature, and that was condemned after Cyril's death. Cyril dies in 444. The one nature talk is condemned in 451, but a big part of the church in Egypt and southern Abyssinia, which we call Ethiopia today, they rejected the Council of Ephesus, which condemned that one nature talk, and those churches were separated from the rest of Christianity into the late 20th century. And so it's also another good lesson for the teachers of the church, the pastors of the church, to seek understanding and godliness in the way they talk, because sometimes our personal foibles and misspeaking can, well, in this case, can linger on and have repercussions for centuries.
Well, when we come back from this break, he talked about lessons. What lesson should we take away? It is often very tempting, when you are confronted with an error on one side theologically, to try and combat it with what amounts to, in the end, an error on the other side. Stretching the truth on one side, stretching the truth on the other, doesn't ever further the truth. We'll talk more about 5th century Bishop of Alexandria, St. Cyril. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. More issues, etc., about another 10 minutes after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you. That cubicle is driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Folks, if you enjoy programs on Christian history like this one on 5th century Bishop of Alexandria, St. Cyril, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also make a gift by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift before the end of the Easter season, and that's coming up pretty soon, this Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. Thanks for your support. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Heath, before the break, we were talking about the debate there, and you were talking about lessons learned. Is one of the lessons simply when we engage theological error, even heresy, to be wary not to fall off the horse on the other side, not to stretch the truth on the other side so that we too fall into error in trying to combat error?
That's exactly it. This is certainly a case of a debate often lending more heat than light.
Okay, are there, regardless of what Nestorius originally intended to do or how Cyril kind of went too far on the other side, there are, in fact, then in Christian history, Nestorian Christians who have a real problem with the relationship of the two natures, and there are Monophysite Christians who have a real problem with the two natures on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. And those are definitely errors that we want to avoid. And because, really, this is a case of making it harder than it has to be. You know, when I teach about Jesus to my catechism kids, it's really not that hard. The Scriptures present Jesus as a human being, and the Scriptures present Jesus as God. And at that point, we say, that's what the Scriptures teach. We don't understand how that can be, but that's what they teach. He really is God, and he really is man, but he's not two different people. There's one Jesus, and he's both God and man somehow. And that's the simple Christian truth. Where Nestorius and Cyril both went wrong is in insisting on their own formulas for how that should be understood. And then once those formulas kind of became locked in, people, instead of starting with the Bible, started with those formulae and spun their theology around these words. I mean, you can if you actually read the words of Nestorius, you actually read the words of Cyril, it's not hard to see how their words were well-intentioned explanations of the biblical truth. If you read Nestorian Christians and Monophysite Christians, you can see how the way they talk is a good intentioned effort to say what the Scriptures are saying. But once the formula became entrenched and you start there, then you start to forget about the Scriptures. And that is frankly always a temptation for any kind of creedal Christian, you know, confessional Lutherans included. We need to be sure that we're always keeping our confessional formulae attached to the Scriptures, that we understand the history of where they come from, why we speak this way, and that we don't just become sloganeers.
Well, and to learn that theologizing, which is not a bad thing to do, should never take on a life of its own. It's always saying after Scripture what Scripture says.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the Novationists, who they were and why Cyril, at least early in his career, had such a real problem with these Christians.
Right. The Novations are similar to, there are a lot of groups, especially that seem to be a problem in the Roman province of Egypt and Libya there in North Africa, during times of persecution, and there were a couple big ones under Emperor Decius and Emperor Diocletian. Christians would, under great duress, they would recant Christianity. They would deny Christ. They would burn the incense to the emperor. They would hand over the sacred books of the church, and so forth. And the Novations they denied that you could kind of come back into the Christian church after you had done these really bad things, after you had denied the confession of faith. You couldn't be received back into communion in the church. You couldn't be married in the church. You couldn't serve as a pastor in the church again. And so they took a position that if you sinned in a really big way after baptism, you were kind of out of luck. There was no more absolution left for you. And what's so interesting is, I mean, obviously, that's not what the Bible teaches. We have, I mean, just look at the example of Peter. Peter denies his Lord three times in before the cock crows twice, and still the Lord restores him. But what's so interesting is to compare what Novation taught to the actual rules of the church, the canons of the church that the church lived by in this time, and they're pretty harsh themselves. If you actually sit down and read the First Council of Nicaea, they say things like, you know, if you're guilty of murder, you can't receive communion again in the church until your deathbed. And there are certain other time limits for other various sins of greater or lesser power. And so if Novation sounds a little crazy to us, we should realize the context in which he lived. He wasn't really taking it that much farther than the Orthodox Church of his day was. And there's something there certainly for us to recover, and that I wonder in our churchly life if we view serious sins, adultery and divorce chief among them, do we view those too lightly, and are we too flippant in absolution? Again, there's more than one way to fall off the horse.
Do you have a favorite quote from Cyril of Alexandria?
You can't talk about Cyril of Alexandria without really talking about what we say about Mary being a confession of what we say about Christ. And so here's just one kind of at random where he clears this up for us. That anyone could doubt the right of the Holy Virgin to be called the Mother of God fills me with astonishment. Surely she must be the Mother of God if our Lord Jesus Christ is God and she gave birth to him. So there you go, and that's exactly how I still teach it today with the catechism kids. Is Mary the Mother of God? Actually, I take them through this quiz, true or false quiz. Is Mary the Mother of God? Does a man rule the universe? Did God die one afternoon? And the first time it always gets them, you know, they answer false to all of them. But then we talk about how all those statements are true, because Jesus really is God, and Jesus really is man.
Why is that so important to maintain nowadays, especially given the fact that Christians really don't, many Christians today, really don't want to fuss with the finer points of theology, and they consider those among the finer points of theology, and they're going to say, look, I don't care how the math is done. You've got a God part, a Jesus part, just as long as he lives in my heart kind of a thing. Why is
right.
it so important that we maintain what Scripture has to say on the two natures in Christ?
Well, all around us, there are groups that are not Christian, that deny who Jesus Christ is, and they are very desirous to weasel their way into the Christian communion for all kinds of reasons. Chiefly, I'm thinking of the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're both out there, and they are ready to sit down with Christians in their homes and twist the Scriptures and twist the words of the church to try to get people to to deny their Lord Jesus Christ, right? Jesus said, those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so we need to have a clear confession of who Jesus is, specifically because he is our Lord and Savior and needs to be both God and man to do that work.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Pastor Curtis, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Always good to be here. Thank you, Ted.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer about preparing for marriage. It's a good thing to think about before one gets married. Then on Thursday, we'll discuss the ascension of Christ with one of your favorite guests. You may have noticed that Dr. Norman Nagel hasn't been on Issues Etc. since we returned to the airwaves. Now, there's a reason for that. Health issues on his end, primarily. Sometime in 2008, he suffered a rather severe stroke and has been on the mend since. We thought, if he can't come to us, why don't we go to him? Which is exactly what we did earlier today. We went down to Laclede Groves in St. Louis, where he and his wife live, and we visited him there, and we brought our equipment, and we recorded about an hour of raw audio with him talking about the ascension of Christ, and we're going to play it for you on Thursday, as a special way of celebrating Christ's ascension. Thursday afternoon, on Issues Etc., Dr. Norman Nagel returns to the airwaves of Issues Etc. to talk about Christ seated at the right hand of God, where is Jesus now, and the great comfort of Christ's ascension. That's Thursday on Issues Etc. We know there are a lot of Norman Nagel fans, a lot of our fans learn to love and know his teaching by listening to Issues Etc. over the years, and so we thought, why not bring him back? And we have, and we hope to make it a regular feature here on Issues Etc. A man like Cyril, so full of vinegar and fight, sometimes got himself in trouble. But it's not a bad quality to have in defense of the truth. It does highlight something. It highlights the fact that, as Pastor Curtis so well pointed out, we call these men saints, not because of their personal holiness, but because they've been declared righteous by the Holy One, Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.